to it again.
Okay.
Because you won't understand it all the first time. Nobody understands it all the first time. And being a teacher, I approach it like a teacher. So, somebody ringing me, I won't take it. So I'm like a teacher. I teach. I put things up on the website to teach so people understand it all. And we're recording today so you can listen to it again. I'll put the link at the bottom of the Aussie Bailout site so you can click on the link and your computer will start to play the talk.
Okay.
So before we start, let's maybe go along the line of questions. If you've got particular questions, you've had a look at the Aussie Bailout site, and that probably saves me a lot of time having to go through things. I've got the documents here, but you can click on the links and see the documents. Do you have any questions, or will I ask you one first?
You ask me a question first.
I'm going to show you a document being called the Deed of Engagement and Provision. The Deed of Engagement Provision was put to me in 1990. It's got a paragraph in there. I'd like you to read that paragraph out loud.
Until such time as Mr. Mearns defaults in any respect under the terms of this deed, the loan made by Mr. Murphy and Mr. Burns bears no interest. Upon default, the loan shall thereupon bear interest at the rate of 40% per annum, calculated on quarterly rests on all monies outstanding hereunder.
So, in sentence two, is that real money, do you think?
In sentence two, is it real money?
Sorry, my processing team. Hi, Zoe.
Well, it's talking about a deed.
That's the deed. There's the deed. And it talks about money.
It sounds like it's for money.
Yes, it's for real money.
Yes.
Because it appreciates, it can be calculated at 40% per annum on quarterly rests from the amount of $140,000. So how much do you think $140,000 at 40% per annum for 30 years is?
For 30 years?
Compounding.
Compounding. Are you looking at... Are you looking at, like, nearly $1 million?
It's over that.
It's over that?
Yes, it's over that. Well over that.
Oh.
It's over a billion.
A billion?
It's over a billion. So, I'll show you... I'll show you a document that shows the growth of that money. It grew from $140,000 every quarter, every 3 months. It grew like that. So it passed a million. It passed a million in there somewhere.
Yes.
I think there, that passes a million. And there it passed a larger number.
Yeah.
A billion, maybe. No, I don't think it was a billion.
That's 10.
10 million.
Yeah.
10 million. And it continued to grow. And I realised I had to do something with it. So I had two choices. One, either could purchase billions of dollars worth of shares and property and things and create a lot of work for the lawyers and so on, which they would love, and the accountants and so on. But I decided, no, that's not social. You don't meet people doing that except lawyers and accountants and things like that.
Yes.
But I thought, another thing that I can do, if the money is real, and if the money is real, and it comes from a court order in 1966, a terms of settlement in 1966, which I was not the one to breach, a deed of engagement and provision that you saw there in 1990, and a guarantee to that deed given by a finance company called AGC. Do you ever remember hearing of a finance company called AGC?
Yeah, AGC sounds
so familiar. AGC guarantor.
It's still here.
AGC went guarantor in 1990 on the day of the deed. So I have a guarantor for the monies. In fact, after 30 years, that guarantee has permeated, spread out to 6 co-guarantors. They are Deutsche Bank, KKR, Varda Partners, Latitude, and GE, and Westpac. So there are 6 co-guarantors of the monies. So I thought, if I've got all of that, something I should be able to do with that money is pay a debt. I should be able to pay my electricity bill or my gas bill with money like that that's grown to that large amount of money. Mm-hmm. Or I should be able to pay a debt for somebody else. I should be able to pay out some old debts of mine with the bank, which I did. I won't go into that, but you can read about that on the site. So I can use it to pay out a debt and many debts, because it continues to grow at 10% every quarter.
Yeah.
So this is a record of people that I've assisted.
Wow.
Sometimes the banks have pocketed the money and don't put it into their account, and they think it hadn't been paid, but the banks are sitting on it because it grows at 10%.
Yes.
And banks can't get that sort of money anywhere.
Yeah.
So what they do is they sit on it, they pocket it, point of contact, P-O-C-K-E-T, point of contact kept electronic transfer. They sit on it so it grows, but they can't sue you. They can't do anything because they've got the money. And you will witness them being paid when we do one of yours. Annie has seen some of them go through, and it goes through electronically by email, which is the successor to telegraphic transfer. Used to be telegraphic transfer before that. Before that, it was Morse code. Debts were paid by Morse code between banks. Back in the 1800s, telegraphic transfer came in. It's just become more sophisticated. It can be done by email because the precedent is there. But the banks have lifted off the system because it causes them some trouble. But I can do payments by electronic, by email, according to the Electronic Transfers Act of 2000 in Australia. So it's a compliant payment, and when they get it, it's not when they put it up on the account, it's when they get it, which is about 30 seconds after you see it go through, it goes to you, you'll get it at the same time, they get it, and the debt is over. However, the creditor may say they can't process the money. Like fund, they can't process the money. All they do is open up a spreadsheet and put it in there. But I direct them to the guarantors if they want cash that doesn't accrue at 40%, whatever reason they would want that for. And I say, here are the guarantors, here are the contact details of the CEOs. The bank of the creditor contacts this any of the guarantors, and we give 28 days for that process to happen. And then it's all over. 28 days by default. And if the creditor's bank or the guarantors have any questions, they can ask me. I'm always there to answer any questions. But otherwise, your debt is paid when you see they get it. Because when you're CC'd in on the payment, meaning when you get it, you know they get it. When they get it, they know you saw it. So they know you've seen it, got paid electronically, digitally.
Okay.
So you've got a particular debt. And we haven't got a... you're doing something else.
Sorry.
So we've got you've got a number of options at paragraph 20 on the AussieBailout.org site. A-U-S-S-I-E is the spelling of it.
Mm-hmm.
A-U-S-S-I-E, bailout.org. Pamela's had a look at that.
Yes.
Now, there are a number of options. How much is your debt again? 500,000,
yeah.
Should we say. Or a bit more
just
than that.
Just over.
Oh, you've got it there.
Yeah. Okay.
So 500,000 or a bit over.
Yeah.
Let's suppose it's 500,000. First option is you can put down a bond, because there's got to be a swap amount come to me.
Yeah.
To do it. It's a swap amount where your debts, loans and mortgages can be paid out for 20 or 25% of the outstanding balance. Does that sound like a good offer?
Yeah, offer anything.
25% or 20% is more manageable than 100% of the loan.
Yeah.
So if your amount can be reduced to 100 or 125, that's good. So if you can do a bond, you pay a bond, which goes into an account, and that's 25% of the bond. The bond is held for 6 months because by then I should get my money back, and the bond is released and comes back to you. It's got to be done within 6 months. So you would have to participate in that a bit, where Annie can help you. The second option is you pay a swap amount of 20%, where you pay 20% and that releases the 100% from the reserve and the 100% goes to the creditor. That would be 20% of 500,000 would be 100,000. The 100,000 releases the 500,000 from the reserve and it is transmitted electronically to the creditor's bank account. So the creditor gets paid the 500,000. They can refer it on to the guarantors if they want. They can let it grow at 40% per annum. They're welcome to do that once they're paid. So that is for 20% of the outstanding balance. Do you have 20% of $500,000?
No.
You don't have that?
No.
So that's maybe not an option you could do.
No.
Unless you were to go and borrow the $100,000 and then we pay that and do a two-step process where the $100,000 gets paid off also later on because you go and get a loan for 20% of $100,000, which is $20,000, which is more manageable again. That brings it down 20%, yeah, to one-fifth of one-fifth of the amount. 20% is of $100,000 is $20,000. So that's a total of 4% instead of paying 100%. How does that sound? I'll let you think about that.
Yeah.
Third option is where you use your lawyer. You may have a lawyer. Your lawyer can be involved. If you use your lawyer, you only pay a 10% swap amount. That would be $50,000 if you use your lawyer. Do you have a lawyer?
No.
You don't have a lawyer. Okay. We don't have a lawyer. Annie may come up with a lawyer somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's the lawyer. The next option is where we take a protective caveat over your property.
Right.
The protective caveat stops the creditor or any creditors suing you and taking your property because I'm there, as with the caveat. A protective caveat because they can't get it because I'm there. I've got to be paid out.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them they've been paid. They can't do anything. I've got the caveat. And then later on you pay me at some point to release that. All that comes out. There's another process which we call 3x3. 3x3, I think, is explained in there as one of the options in the 125th quarterly rest. And that's where you introduce three who introduce three each. And then yours is no charge.
Right.
If you introduce three who do three each. Introduce three each. Sounds easy, but it's probably not as hard because some do and some don't.
Yeah.
There's another option or two, I think, in there, but you can read that in the 20th paragraph, the link to the 125th quarterly rest.
Yeah.
And you've got some questions at this point then? Questions or problems?
It's a lot of information.
Yes, it's on the site.
Yeah.
You can read that. It's on the 125th quarterly rest. If you go, open it up again.
Yeah.
Go down to the 20th paragraph. Now, you'll see there are some links there.
Yeah.
One is a link to the 125th quarterly rest.
Mm-hmm.
Click on that link if you can. Should open up the 125th quarterly rest. Yeah, make it larger. What's it say?
There you go.
So, if you go down there, I think it's the paragraphs with the arrows. Are there paragraphs with arrows there?
Yes, yes.
The arrows are the ones, I think, which tell you the options of how you can do it.
Okay.
So, in a way, if you really work it out right, you can even do it for free.
Mm.
But or 10% using your lawyer. The free is the caveat and or the caveat or the bond when I get paid back within the 6 months. If I don't get paid back within the 6 months, the bond is forfeit and then it's 25% in instead of 20%. So people can do that thinking, well, I can get the bond back when it's over and I get the 100% back, which is explained in the 125th quarterly rest somewhere as well too. Or it may be in the guarantor's document.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of that. If you'd like to proceed, I need your email address. Just give me your contact details. Have you got a card?
I don't have a card, but I can give you.
Annie can give me an email address. And I will send you two documents to start off with. One is for the particulars, and one is a very simple agreement. You don't pay anything for that agreement.
So are you saying the caveat should last for 6 months?
No, the bond lasts for 6 months.
The bond lasts for 6 months.
The caveat lasts longer.
Okay.
Until the payment comes back.
Okay.
How long does it take for the payment to come back, roughly?
We give them 28 days.
And what happens if they don't pay it in 28 days? It's accruing interest, isn't it?
Yes, it's accruing interest, like an investment. Because whilst it's an amount outstanding as contemplated under the deed, it also grows at 10% per quarter. So it's like an investment, which you may be able to borrow against in time as a security. So email address, contact number, and your name. The mortgage is your name and your husband's name?
Just my name.
Just my name. Oh, you're smart.
Smart lady.
Your husband's not on the mortgage. Or no. Maybe he's smart.
One of us is smart,
maybe. And I can't work out which one it is. But you're the smart one because you came here. Let's just see.
So now I have to...
What suburb are you?
Toongabie.
Yeah. So, there's a bit of information for a starter.
Yes.
Maybe if you'd like to tell some friends or something, I can do a group meeting and explain things again, but they can listen to the recording.
Yes.
They can listen to the recording. They can look at the Aussie bailout site, which has got a lot of information.
Yes.
Saves me having to cover it all at the meetings. I just cover the how to get started, get the details. Have you got any other questions?
Not at this stage.
What about you, Annie? Got any other questions?
No. So the process moving forward is Pamela will fill in the you'd send her the documents.
I send the documents for the particulars of the loan.
Yeah.
Some of the particulars of the loan is I need the BSB and account number of the creditor. Who is the creditor?
AMP.
AMP. Mm-hmm. Never done an AMP before. AMP uses a bank. Which bank does AMP use, do you know?
No.
It's probably Westpac, I think. Who knows? So I need the BSB and account number that you pay the money into with AMP.
Mm.
We need to get that. An email address for AMP should be difficult. Have you got a contact name there at AMP that you deal with in regard to the mortgage?
I'll
if you can get a contact name of a person, so we've got somebody that we're communicating with, it can be in the settlements department.
Yeah.
Get a contact name in the settlements department and the email address for the settlements department. I will also need to get the email address for the branch of the bank. I don't know which branch AMP banks with. Probably one in the city. So I will track that down. I may even have that information. So that's how we start. Which way would you like to go?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to have a look at each of those options.
Options, yes. And work out which one you would like to go.
Work out which one is best.
Remember the 20%, if you do that, and you haven't got the 20%, because not necessarily everybody does on a large amount, is you might like to go and get financed for it.
Mm.
And then later on, on the second step, we do that one too, for a 20% of the 100%, which is $20,000. We step down. So we do a step down process.
Right.
That's where there's two of them. Do you have $20,000 available?
Maybe.
Then we can think about this step process. But look at the options.
Yeah.
Get familiar with them. But remember, 20% is more manageable than 100%.
Yeah.
It frees up your money, it loosens up your credit rating, and you can go and do other things. It helps you to move along with your financial goals more quickly than you had expected.
Yes.
You had expected maybe you'd have this mortgage for who knows how long, but you'll be able to deal with it and then move on to something else which you hadn't quite thought you'd be able to do so quickly.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
And you can do this process over and over again with future properties.
Oh, that sounds great. So you need the name of a person in the settlements department?
I think so.
Yeah.
Get that and email it to me. Hmm?
What else were you after?
The BSB and the account number.
Yeah.
You can write that down somewhere.
Yeah.
BSB and account number. A contact number of the contact person.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll ring them and tell them it's coming.
Yeah.
Might do that. Might do that. They don't know about the guarantors, but I'll just point out there was a guarantor.
Mm. Plus, account number.
Your email address you've given me. And that's about it. That's a simpler presentation than the last one, isn't it, Annie?
Yeah, oh yeah, it was.
Because much of it's in the AussieBailout.org website. I don't have to go into all the history, it's up there.
Yes.
I have the documents here.
Do you have the address? Where
are you? My email address. We'll use matchdc@tpg.com.au at the moment.
Okay.
I have to get the Aussie Bailout email address set up. matchdc@tpg.com.au.
Oh.
AUSSIE. Bailout, B-A-I, no. Yep. MatchDC, MATCHDC @tpg.com.au. Do you have other friends who may be interested in something like this? Friends, neighbours, relatives, workmates or whoever?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
You can have a group presentation if you want somewhere, at home or somewhere.
Yeah.
We can think about that later on. Any other questions? You got some reading to do.
You've helped quite a few people.
As you saw on the list, at law, they've been helped. But sometimes the banks notice that this money is unusual because it has the quality that it grows at 10% from the rarest of court cases. They can't get that anywhere else.
Mm.
So they don't want to put it in your account. So we don't say it's when they put it in your account that the debt is paid. It's when you see they get the money.
Mm.
When it hits their electronic reception equipment, it's when it gets there. That's when the payment is made, not when they allocate it.
Wow.
So at law, all of those got paid because the money left my account.
Yeah.
In each case, here on the chart.
Wow.
The money left the account.
Yeah.
There's the amount paid, there's the balance going down, and it increases at the quarterly rest. The transaction is between column B and column C. When that can be seen, the money has left and gone to that electronic address, to that creditor, to those people, but the transaction is really in column B and C. A date is given, but they can see the money is deducted, and it travels and it goes to your creditor.
Wow.
It has left. The undertaking has been given. It has gone.
Mm.
And I can do that compliantly under the Electronic Transfers Act, I think it's called. Yep. Of 2000.
That's incredible.
Some court cases can give rise to very strange outcomes later on. But that happens if the person to whom it happens. That happens if the person is aware of the law and follows it through. They might find they've got a gem, some treasure. So it's when they...
Oh.
I'm in a meeting at the moment, can't talk. I'm in a meeting. I'll talk to you later. So Yes, so they might find they've got an unusual opportunity from another court case. But this went off in a strange direction, not because there was a judgment in the court case. There was an offer to settle out of court in 1966. And that offer to settle out of court was put to me and entered into the court record with a court order 2 days later. But in the offer to settle out of court, in the terms of settlement, it said these terms not to be disclosed. That's the hook. If you ever disclose, they can come back and get you unless you've got a release. They came back 24 years later to get me to breach the terms of settlement. And in the court order, there was a clue that it was set down for recovery in 30 years' time. Anyway, I mean, that's enough for today, probably. It's enough for today. I'll let you think about it.
Yeah, I'll go in and
I'll put you on the email list, so you'll get emails coming through on a wide variety of things to do with this.
Yes.
There are very varied things that come through, and you can just watch what's happening.
Okay.
And do it when you're ready.
Okay, not a problem.
You don't sign anything today. You don't pay anything today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
That's okay. Do you want us to go down into the kitchen?
Yeah, let's do that now.
Yeah, so we can have the soup downstairs.
I'll show you where, right on the very day of the accident,
yes,
which was in Bressington Park, Homebush Bay, right down the road here.
Shall I go and heat the soup up? I'll heat the soup up and bring it here.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yes, that might be better. Leave that to me. I'll go and heat the soup up.
So it just happened just down the road?
Just down the road, yes. I'm here at Ground Zero, and God gave a sign on the very morning the accident happened. I had an accident where I fell into a fire.
Yes.
The Strathfield Council had allowed Bressington Park to turn into a garbage tip over the years and was allowing the residents to dump their garbage in the park and allowing chemical companies to dump chemical waste in the park.
Get out, but you can't get in. Oh, maybe I could have just used my key. Sorry about that. I just realised that the buns and
everything are
here. Oh, hang on, my breadboard's over here. Sorry, you carry on.
So,
I'll just
sit. The underneath the ground of the garbage tip there in Bressington Park, which is where that raised mound at the back of Bressington Park is, it's covering chemical waste. It was burning under the ground. Little boys like me would go there for the first day of the school holidays in year four, fall in and get burnt. So, on the morning of the accident, I had what's called a wipeout. I fell down and fell into a burning ring of fire because it was on fire. And God gave a sign that on number one on the top 40 chart, the 2UE top 40 chart that used to come out many years ago, on the morning of 23rd of August 1963, wipeout hit number one.
Wow.
Meaning there was going to be, I got wiped out, but there were going to be wipeouts in future. Debts, we called it wipeout, but we call it bailout at the moment because it's more an appropriate term.
Yeah.
But wipeout was prophesied on that morning, on the day of the accident.
Wow.
And I fell into a burning ring of fire, and I was not responsible. So there's a few things, and there's a link to that top 40 chart on the Aussie Bailout site, and you can go to the link, see the chart, click on some of these songs and hear them play.
This is so good.
You can hear Wipeout being played if you've never heard it.
Yeah.
It's an instrumental. Wipeout. Okay, we'll stop there again. Also along the way, when GE was the owner of AGC, they gave me an apology for Christmas. Oh. Read it out loud.
On behalf of AGC, I would like to apologise for any inconvenience that this matter may have caused. Wow.
The date? What's the date?
23rd of December 2003.
Yes, that was a Christmas apology.
Yeah,
it's a gift. One of the three best gifts that I ever got. So we've got an apology.
Nice.
Which means GE, as a co-guarantor, is in a very interesting position to be guarantor.
Yes.
They are all in positions to be guarantor where the guarantors make a good amount of money. They don't make a loss. They can refer it on and make money.
Yeah.
So they should be happy to be guarantors.
Yeah.
this recording will be up tonight, and so
okay,
you can tell people to have a listen to it.
Yeah.
And refer them back to Annie.
Yes.
I was 9 years old.
9 years old?
10 years before my 10th birthday. 9 years old on that morning, 23rd of August 1963, when I fell into the fire.
So and who rescued you?
There was nobody else there. I crawled out.
Oh.
I could have fainted and then just died then. When I got out and climbed up a hill and went to the attention of the guy at the gate who was collecting the money off people dumping garbage in the park, he said I could have gone down 12 feet. If I went down 12 feet, I would have disappeared. Nobody would have known where I went.
Yeah.
They would never have known where I went.
Mm.
Could not be found. But I went in up to just above my knees. I've got the burns on my legs. I went in up to my knees, above my knees. Put one hand down to find solid ground. Got burnt on the right hand, on the left. Was it on the right or the left hand one? And put the other one down, found solid ground and clambered out. And then up a hill. I found my legs had gone numb. The jodhpurs I were wearing weren't wet. It was something different, some chemical waste powder. It was hotter than boiling water, it seems. And it created third degree burns, and I was in hospital for 7 weeks and one day from 23rd of August till the 12th of September, 12th of October.
Mm.
So it had a strange outcome.
Mm.
I do a bunch of other things too. I do other things. I organise events for singles, restaurant dining events for singles.
How old are the singles?
Generally over 40.
Oh.
You single or married?
Single.
Well, you can come. We've got a dinner tonight in Concord. You're welcome to come. The dinner tonight in Concord. And there's one tomorrow night in Concord.
Mm.
I do them every Friday and Saturday night. We do picnics as well.
Oh.
We've got a picnic in on Saturday morning at Gladesville, and Sunday the picnic is at Rivendell near Concord Hospital.
How do you get information about it?
We have a WhatsApp group which you can join, or you can go. I can put you on the email list. For the emails that go out about the dinners, I'll put you on the email list. If you've got other single friends who might like to come to nice conversational dinner party nights for singles and seniors, generally over 40, 45 and up, then you'll make friends, meet people and so on like that.
Okay.
What else do I do? I'm chairperson of STAG, Sydney Treatment Alternative Advocacy Group. We advocate for treatment alternatives in mental health. And also in COVID, treatment alternatives in COVID as well too. So we've got a number of options there.
I work in PsychMed.
Hmm?
I work in PsychMed.
Well, I'm the chairperson of the Sydney Treatment Alternative Advocacy Group, STAG. Maybe you've heard of it. And we advocate that the Department of Mental Health should be compliant with Section 68E that requires that people with a mental illness or mental disorder should be provided with appropriate information about treatment, treatment alternatives and treatment effects to best be able to pursue their recovery. That's not happening. They just fill them up with chemicals.
Mm.
The whole thing is a scam.
So, medication.
Medication. So people who would like to do something about that, I'm happy to talk to them. If you know anyone who's got a bee in their bonnet about the whole system, but is prepared to take some action and be paid, I've got a way that that can be done.
Okay. Interesting.
Especially if they're on a CTO.
What's a CTO?
Community Treatment Order.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they don't have a mental illness. Because there are people in the mental health system who don't have a mental illness.
Mm.
I don't know if you knew that.
I think people are just labelled.
They're labelled, yes, they're labelled. They give them a role. They expect them to play that role.
Mm.
What else do I do? The dinners?
You keep yourself quite busy.
Yeah, I keep busy. I kept busy during lockdown. There was always plenty to do, but I had a break from the dinners. Yeah. It's like a holiday.
Of course.
It's like a relaxing holiday. Until next time.
So your dinners are starting for the first time tonight?
No, the dinner started a week or two ago. About 2 weeks ago. The picnics have been going for about 5 or 6 weeks now.
Okay.
So, I'm sure there's something else I do as well. What is it? I'm writing a book.
Are you? About everything that's...
No. Something totally different.
Oh, like a fictional book?
No, it's not fictional. It's not fictional. It's called The Gospel Trial and Claims of Mary Magdalene.
Oh.
And the She Bible. And there are links to them both on aussiebailout.org.
Okay, at the bottom of it?
No, in the text somewhere.
In the text somewhere, okay.
It talks about it. See, I had the accident within a month of becoming a Christian at the age of 12. Within a month of becoming a Christian, I had the accident. God started to move, work.
Right.
Boom. And we were off on a 58-year journey. So the Gospel Trial and Claims of Mary Magdalene is something that I've written with a bit of help. So, I suppose there's something else I do, but I can't remember what it is. We've got a WhatsApp group that is growing called Dr. David's Lockdown Singles. It started during lockdown and people are joining that. And they communicate on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
They can communicate with each other. And the dinners are every Friday and Saturday night. And the picnics are every Saturday and Sunday at the moment for lunch. I also have a weight loss program called the Weight Loss Game, which I do for people.
We need tissues.
We do.
Okay.
So I keep a chart for people and email them the chart and monitor their progress on whatever diet they are choosing to do to lose weight. They set a goal, how many kilos they would like to lose, and we work on it.
Mm.